Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Very, very strange day. Very strange day on the show. If you are just hearing this, if you're just getting out of a meeting or something, right-wing political commentator Charlie Kirk has been shot at an event. It was the first stop on his tour where he goes to college campuses and he debates students, called the Prove Me Wrong and the Comeback Tour. I'm not sure what that means, but he was shot in the neck, and it's fully on many, many videos that are out there. I would encourage you, as Wheels did, to not watch them if you don't want it to stick with you, because the one up close is very, very graphic. And unfortunately, you see a copious amount of blood come out of Charlie Kirk's neck onto his shoulders. And as CBS News reported, it, quote, is not looking good. And after seeing that video, I can't imagine that it is looking good. I hope they can save him. I hope he has a full recovery. It seems hollow to have to say, I don't agree with him politically, but he's a human being. And he didn't deserve to be shot in the neck.
Nope.
And it shouldn't have happened. They arrested someone. The person who they arrested, at least, I was not there. I didn't see him do it. But the person who they have taken into custody appears to be about a late 50s, 60-year-old guy, kind of pudgy white guy with gray hair and a bald top of his head. I'm not sure what I would have expected or what I would have been surprised by, but that's the person they took into custody. Happened in front of hundreds of kids at this university, so they've got that on them for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I mean, and the people in the crowd, I mean, as soon as you can, and you can hear the gunshot, and it's a loud gunshot. It's not, you know, it sounds like it's something pretty powerful. It doesn't sound like just a handgun or anything like that. But as soon as it happened, the whole crowd panics, right? Everybody's yelling. They're running. You know, these are college kids. Another shooting on a college campus. These are college kids now running for their lives because they don't know what's going on. You grow up in a time where gunshots on a campus are not that foreign, and you know, you see that panic. But we're gonna play the same games we always do. We're gonna have people yelling at it. There are already people that have figured out the political leanings of the guy that they detained. We don't even know if he's been arrested. We just know that they detained a guy, because you remember there were protests. There were which was it? There was a shooting not long ago where they detained two people, but they were not they ended up not being the suspects, but everybody identified them as the shooters.
That happened in KC.
Right, in Kansas City. Right. It was at the Chiefs parade. And nobody can slow down. That's the scariest part about this from a social media perspective, is that it's all gas, no brakes. Slow down. They're going to figure it out.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi has shared after this happened. She said, political violence has absolutely no place in our nation. All Americans should pray for Charlie Kirk's recovery and hold the entire community in our hearts as they endure the trauma of this gun violence.
She knows as well as anybody. Remember her husband?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. Right. Yeah. And boy, didn't that get wild? Conspiracy theories and people just throwing stuff out there. I just don't get. I do get it. Because people benefit from the engagement on social media. So you get more engagement when you're sensational. We have to learn as a society, we don't take the bait. Do not take the bait. If you see all that stuff, there will be an investigation. There will be an arrest, a prosecution, all of that. We will find these things out. But we are not going to find them out today. Or at least not in the minutes that follow, right? You're not going to know this instantaneously. So anything you're seeing that's suggesting that it knows, they don't. And it's okay. There's nothing changing if you allow things to take their course.
it's not only terrible because a human being has been shot and could die from their injuries, but it also is going to have just a big chill effect on free speech. You know,
sure hope not.
People,
but yeah.
People going out there and holding public forums and taking questions and debating people, and or at least like really, really heightened security. They were interviewing some of the kids that were at this event, and there seems to have been very little security and no checks and no metal detectors. He just set up in the quad and started taking questions and debating students, and the person walked up and shot him.
Yeah, can't. I mean, we don't, you know, whatever the video that we saw, you don't see the shooter in the video. It's off screen somewhere.
Yes.
So we don't know the distance at this point. Again, all of it will be there, though. We don't need to know that now. We don't need to know, was he 100 feet away? Was he 100 yards away? We don't need to know any of that at the moment. What we need to do is just let the police do their job. Let investigators do their jobs. They'll sort it out. This one seems like it's going to be, there's a crowded place. If there were witnesses that saw the person pull the trigger, it's going to be easy to identify them. There will be forensics. There will be all these things that go into it. That will tell us what the story is.
Yeah. Okay. So in the immediate, right now here in this studio in St. Louis, we're still doing a radio show. I don't think we have enough information to continue talking about this. I think we have plenty of information to say what we've said, which is it is terrible. It shouldn't happen. This is not the way we do things. Andrew and Wheels had a very spirited debate in the 2 o'clock hour right after this happened. I would encourage you to maybe go listen to that on the podcast. It was worth listening to, two different paradigms and two different approaches to this. But at this point, I'm going to make the executive call that we are going to go ahead with the show as normal. We will keep our eye on this. The newsroom is watching this very closely. When Michael Calhoun tells us that there is an update on his condition, we will bring it to you. But other than that, we're going to go ahead with a regular show. So, Rach, why don't we break a little early here? We'll come back and we'll do DGS Happy Hour, something that we would normally do on the DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS. You can join us on the stream through Facebook or YouTube. Today was especially active even before this shooting in Utah, but since then it's been very, very active, and it is a really good place to share your opinions and your thoughts and even cross swords or debate fellow listeners or members of the show, so you can always do that, and you can watch us do the show. Okay, let's do a DGS Happy Hour. Who wants to start it off?
I'll go.
Okay.
Got a bunch of things. So I don't know which of these things I want to get into more than the other. So maybe we can let you guys pick, because there's some really interesting stuff. We got a NASA story where they found what they're saying might be the, quote, clearest sign yet of ancient life on Mars.
Okay.
And then we also have a video played by Eric Burleson from Missouri.
Yeah.
In Congress of an unidentified aerial phenomenon being shot at with a Tomahawk missile being hit. And then just bouncing off and keeping on going.
Pretty crazy.
Let's do that one first. Just because it's stunning to me that we have, again, this is a video from the military. I think it happened in 2024. This is presented in Congress, this video. It's shown, you can see Tomahawk missile hits, and it just looks like an orb on the screen, right? You can't see much of anything. Hits it, looks like something breaks off, but then that thing that broke off continues to follow the UAP that was shot by a Tomahawk. And it, so many questions. Like, one, okay, this is military technology. They're shooting at something. Two, you're shooting at things you don't know what they are.
Mm.
And maybe, do you know what it is?
Do we know who was shooting?
Well, for sure, no. But I mean, it was a Tomahawk missile from a drone, I think.
It was from us.
Yes.
Okay.
My understanding of the way it was described in the hearing as it was presented. The video is pretty crazy. I mean, again, it's somewhat black and white. It's right. It's the FLIR, the FLIR imaging. You're not seeing a lot of detail there. And it just seems like it's a nothing burger, this story. This got played in Congress. This is military video with people, real Congress people, looking at it going, yeah, well, we shot at a UAP and we hit it and nothing really happened. It kind of kept on going on its way. And it just, I'm like, okay, I have a million questions. Like, do we shoot at things when we don't know what they are? How do you know what's going to happen if you hit it? What if it's something that if you hit it, it basically goes nuclear? Like, or do you know or have a suspicion and that's why you're shooting at it? Is that not
reasonable questions?
Wild story?
Did you see our boy, is it Coulthart? Is that how you say his name?
Ross Coulthart, yeah.
Yeah. That the Tic Tac from the famous video from a few years ago,
yeah,
he says is our technology, and it's out of Lockheed Martin, and they have the schematics for it, which I saw on TikTok today, could be fake.
Yeah.
But that's pretty interesting. I mean, he's a real guy and says that he is absolutely categorically sure that the Tic Tac is our technology, and it was invented in the early 2000s.
Huh.
Now, that's nuts.
Hmm. I mean, it does track with past technological breakthroughs, right? In that we don't always know about it until 20 years later.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that much stuff gets kept secret these days. So how much do you think there is, like, out of this world, crazy, unbelievable, so unbelievable that when we see it, we think it can't possibly be human technology that we have right now that we just don't, that the general public doesn't know about?
It's an interesting question because what I always think to myself, like, they're about to do the F-47, you know, this seventh generation fighter.
Yeah.
Well, why are you wasting your time with that slow ass piece of crap? If we've got things that can go from 80,000 feet to sea level in less than a second, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why are we wasting our time with an army? Or the Marines, or why are we wasting our time with any of it?
Why are we intentionally hamstringing ourselves?
If we really have this technology, to me, that would be bigger than the Manhattan Project.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be a lot of things. I mean, it could be not ready to be produced at scale, and it may they may know it's going to take 10 years, and in those 10 years, you don't want to fall behind. Be my guess is, you know, to... Because I can think about how, we didn't know when the stealth fighter first came out, nobody knew it was there. And it was like, was it 20 years before? Mm-hmm. 20 years, it was invented 20 years before it became public knowledge. And we've seen that with other technologies where there's this big gap between. And you listen to interviews like I do, Dave. You hear all these people that work in intelligence or they work in science. And they're like, oh, yeah, the, you know, ARPA and those people that are, you know, searching out new things, they're 20 years ahead of the public. Anything you can dream of, they're probably working on, which is nuts.
Yeah.
And then it raises the question, should we know about that stuff or not?
So 3i Atlas, which we've had Avi Loeb on from Harvard several times, it's the third interstellar object that we know of that has entered our solar system. And we've talked to you about how it's different, and it's 30 kilometers long, and it's this wide, and it's this huge thing, and it is... shooting out nickel without iron, which doesn't happen in nature. It happens in electronics. And now they're saying that it's changing its shape and that they think it could be being steered. And this is the way it happens. This is probably a rock.
Yeah.
Probably a comet.
Stuff we don't know because we haven't seen it.
Right. It's from another world. And even if it's not intelligent or have little green men piloting it, it's from another solar system.
Yeah, it's from some place that none of us have ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, we have pictures of those places, but you haven't really been up close to study them. And it's kind of like you don't know what you don't know, right? How many things are we still discovering on Earth?
Yeah. Rach, you got something?
I do. I kind of just want to get your guys' thoughts on this. I personally find this to be overly mean, but I'm interested in your opinion. So there's this Russian tennis player. Her name is Anna Kolinskaya. I hope I said her name right. She basically exposed this other tennis player for sending her DMs on Instagram. I don't think he was being like aggressive or inappropriate. I think he was just trying to get her attention over and over again. And she did an interview and she like called him out, called him hopeless.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is actually the second time there was another player who called him out like last week.
Same
or the
guy?
Week before. Yes. His name is Rune or Rune. I'm never sure how to say his name because I've heard it both ways. But yeah, someone else was like, yeah, he sent me a DM, but I'm married and he needs to not DM people. He's basically come out and said, like, I don't know, maybe we have like cultural differences to where you think me replying to an Instagram story is me asking you for a date. but it's not like that. I think he probably was trying to get with these girls. I mean, that's generally how this happens. But my question for you guys is, do you also find it like maybe overly mean to like go to the press and be like, this guy wants to go on a date with me, but I won't because I think he's a loser?
Yeah, movers move. You got to make your move. If you see a cute girl or whatever and you want to ask her out, just say like, I'm married. Sorry, can't do it.
Yeah, it's the whole taking it to the media thing, which I just find a little, it's like, whoa, I don't know if he deserved all of that.
Unless he's like super aggressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too.
Not taking no for an answer. Then you can be like, I gotta let people know about this guy. But if he just says like, hey, I loved your match the other day. We're going to be in the same city. Let's go out. And you're like, no, sorry, I'm married. You don't got to air the poor guy out. He's trying to get a date.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of bad for him, honestly. They're not getting the intended result out of this story.
Certainly not.
It's mean to call him hopeless.
I forget, Andrew, what was it a few years ago that we talked about putting my name on, or we did put my name on, that like went to space? Remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember this?
I do.
And I don't remember what it was. I don't remember if we actually did it. But anyway, Artemis 2, which is going to go to the moon, and it's going to orbit the moon, they are inviting people to put their names on a digital something that will be on the spacecraft as it goes around the moon. So my question to you guys is that meaningless to you that somewhere on this craft are ones and zeros that say Kevin Wheeler? Yeah. Is it cool at all?
To me, it's not.
Yeah. Well, what if the aliens become fans? What if they're like, this is Wheeler guy. He's pretty smart.
Just wait till they get to know me.
Yeah, I
also don't find it cool. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, who cares? If my name was on the paper.
Not if you're going to paint my name on the moon, all right.
Yeah, if my face is on there, if you got like a picture of me, like a, you know, 8x5 or whatever.
What if they had like a small object that went around the orbit of the moon that you could have?
That would be awesome.
Like
a coin or something. Would that be impactful to you?
Nah.
I want a space coin real bad. Yeah. That sounds very fun. I feel the pain of
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. The newsroom continues to work on the story about conservative activist Charlie Kirk being shot in the neck at an appearance at a university in Utah. When we get any sort of an update on his condition, we will let you know. Dave Murray joins us now. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Doing okay.
Good. Any thoughts on that story since you're just now joining the show?
I saw it clear on Wall Street Journal. I don't know. This country is just getting bizarre. Just getting bizarre. I don't care what your politics are. You don't pull a gun out and shoot somebody.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. Not only does it affect that person, it affects everyone there, it affects the whole country. It changes the temperature.
And think about think about family. I mean, think about his family.
Who I believe was there.
Yeah, if you don't want to think about anything else, think about what you might be doing, not only to that person, but the family.
Yeah.
Then carry it through the everything. Just carry it through everything.
And an update, we had reported that someone was taken into custody. It appears that they were, but then released. Right, Kev?
Yeah. It's gone back and forth because CBS News had originally cited university police as saying they had the shooter in custody. But that was just a person being detained. It turns out that, at least based on what we know now, that person is no longer in custody. And that means that the shooter is not in custody.
Yes.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Again, it's already changed a couple times in the last half hour. So this is why when I said earlier, everybody just calm down.
Which is why we let it sort out. Which, honestly, don't listen to me. Listen to Michael Calhoun.
Yeah.
Listen to Maria Kina. That's why KMOX has the newsroom that it has.
Yep.
We will report what we get from them, and if something changes in Charlie Kirk's condition, we'll hear about it from Michael Calhoun.
Yes.
Dave, let's do the weather.
All right. Guess what?
Hmm.
It's going to be summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming back. Yeah, we had about 3 weeks of amazing weather.
Yeah.
Below average temperatures day and night. The good news, I mean, we're kind of upper 80s right now. Humidity levels are still pretty easy to take, so it doesn't really feel like 88 degrees. But 92 tomorrow, let's call it moderate humidity on Thursday, still kind of bearable. Friday, it's sunny, hot, and humid. 95 on Friday. The record is 98 from 1956. 71 for the overnight low Friday night. The weekend's hot and humid. Saturday, sunny, 96, short of the record of 100. And then Sunday, partly sunny, hot and humid, 95. Maybe, just maybe an isolated thunderstorm Sunday afternoon, but the odds are very, very small on that. That 95 on Sunday, also short of the record. Records over the weekend are 100 and 101. This will carry us at least Tuesday, Wednesday of next week.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to be around for a while.
All right.
But maybe this is the last hurrah.
I can live with that.
Yeah, you know, you take it, you know, take it, let's say, to the 17th of September. That's getting pretty hard. Of course, we said it would be hard to get to 95, and it appears we're going to do that.
Yeah. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So former Vice President Kamala Harris is admitting that her silence on Biden's decision to run for re-election in 2024 was recklessness. But she said she felt she was not in a position to advise him otherwise.
Well,
which is kind of an interesting thing to say because you're the vice president. I just don't know who else would be there to advise him if not for the vice president.
Mm-hmm. What is she saying was reckless, Rach?
Her silence when Biden said he was running again. So, I mean, I guess she's basically admitting we all thought that was a bad idea, but no one wants to tell the big guy he's wrong.
That's pretty amazing since it was years before that.
Zohran Mamdani has a 15-point lead over Andrew Cuomo in the four-way race for mayor of New York City. This is according to a recent poll. The lefty Democratic nominee is favored by 43% of voters. And he holds a significant lead among voters under 50 and is generally considered more likable than his rivals. 48% of voters say they have a favorable opinion of him.
What do you guys think of having Democratic socialists as an experiment be, say, the mayor of a major city?
I mean, as an experiment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how it goes?
I'd be interested to see what he could even get done in what is a very, collaborative political nation, right? Like, being the mayor of New York doesn't necessarily give you absolute power over the city of New York. And then the city of New York is just one city in a very, very large country, right? So I would be curious if he does want to make any big dramatic changes, what those could even realistically be.
Could we maybe start that in Dayton instead of New York City? if we're going to run an experiment, let's not take it to the biggest city of the country.
I mean, but it's like we always say, this is what the people seem to want. I mean, he's leading in the polls. Who am I to tell New York City, no, that's actually the wrong choice for you? Okay, a cruise ship passenger in Puerto Rico jumped overboard, allegedly to avoid a $16,000 gambling debt.
What?
This was a debt that was accrued in casino play during a week-long cruise on Royal Caribbean's Rhapsody of the Seas. So he attempted to evade taxes by leaping overboard and was found with cash, multiple IDs, and a jet ski escape. He's facing charges for attempting to avoid monetary reporting requirements and could receive up to 5 years in prison or a $250,000 penalty.
Oh, you thought that one through all the way.
Yeah.
I know what I'll do. I'll just jump off of the boat.
I didn't realize you could run up that big a debt on a boat.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying.
It doesn't seem quite right. to me.
Doesn't it seem like there should maybe be some
limits?
I don't know. I don't know
this
what
is just for fun kind of stuff.
I don't know what he did. I don't know if he like ran up his credit card, but in that case, he wouldn't have to jump off the boat because it wouldn't be the boat people coming after him.
It sounds like he didn't lose. It sounds like he won. He was trying to avoid
the
taxes.
It's kind of confusing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he...
He was like, now I'm going off the grid.
Wait, so he jumped off with the money?
Yeah.
So he thinks $16,000 is worth that?
I guess so.
Okay. I've totally misunderstood the story.
Okay. One more big congratulations to Larry Ellison. He has eclipsed Elon Musk as the world's richest person. Just slow clap for this guy. Congratulations to you.
I don't know if I like the world's richest man being named Larry.
Why?
I don't know. It's one of those things that we talk about sometimes.
That impressive.
Yeah, one of those things we talk about on the show. No disrespect to our Larrys out there, but like...
Needs to be like Agamemnon or something.
Yeah, I don't know why. It just kind of like hits a weird thing.
You know, he owns the island of Lanai. He's going big into Oxford University.
Lanai is a much better name.
I don't know.
His name was Oxford Ellison.
I kind of like knowing the Pope's name is Bob. It's kind of nice thinking of a Larry instead of an Elon.
So you think he's the everyman's richest man in the world?
Well, I don't know about that.
He's just like me, for real.
He's the blue collar working man.
He's got a normal person name.
Larry.
He's just like me.
Okay, according to a new report, Barron Trump has moved into the White House to start his sophomore year at NYU. When I initially saw this, I assumed he would be like taking the chopper to New York every day, but they do have a Washington, D.C. campus that takes a limited amount of students. So that's where Barron will be attending and living at the White House. So there's your little Barron Trump update of the day. Hundreds of hours of unseen footage from 9/11 is headed to the public. The New York Public Library recently acquired an archive that is considered the largest collection of 9/11 video documentation. Obviously, this happened before smartphones were everywhere and everyone was filming everything, so this footage is very rare. The library plans to open the collection for on-site use in 2027, and we'll all be able to view it online by 2030.
I was just watching something on 9/11, and it was featuring a guy that was basically the head of disaster response in New York. And on the morning of 9/11, he talks about how he went to his office, which was next to the World Trade Center, and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, "I pulled out the morning paper because we didn't have smartphones." And I thought that was really interesting.
Wow.
By the way, okay, I'm just going to read the headline on CNN. According to Trump, Charlie Kirk is dead.
Yeah, he put that on Truth Social.
Okay.
That's what we're seeing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's gone beyond that yet, but that's what they're showing on the screen.
Yeah. So strange way to learn that coming from the president, but
yeah.
I'm assuming he would be sufficiently careful to not put it out there if it weren't true. And having seen the video... from up close, like, it's not surprising. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was bad.
You want to do another headline here?
Sure.
Let's see, kind of in line with all this space stuff you guys were talking about a couple segments ago, NASA says that a rock sample from Mars has a potential biosignature of life. So it's not a direct evidence of life itself, but it's a leftover sign that features on the rock may have had biological origins.
It's fascinating.
There's a possibility of a possibility.
It's a crazy story because NASA has studied this for a year. And the only explanation that they can come up with, it doesn't mean there isn't another one, but the only one that they can come up with scientifically is that those markings had something to do with biological, with some form of life, whether it was, you know, cellular, whether it was beyond that, there's not much clarity yet, but they're trying to get that sample. The sample is not here. The sample is still on Mars, and they're trying to figure out how to get the sample back here in a realistic way so that we can look more at it. But man, NASA is saying it's the clearest sign yet of some form of life on Mars.
Two things. One, I think if I live a natural lifetime, we will know for sure that there is life outside of Earth. And my guess is it's going to be pretty plentiful. I don't know that it's going to be like us, But I was just reading this fascinating article last weekend, how, you know, forever now, scientists have been trying to figure out, well, how did life happen? Did God speak it into existence? Was it amino acids and proteins? And they said that they think chemically it was much easier and simpler than what we have thought in the past, which leads them to believe that it could have happened most everywhere. So fascinating. All right, Dave, thank you. We appreciate it.
You got it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.